What I want to talk about now is, I want to go to the Queen Maker Hotline. I can't say dude because she is a lovely lady. Her husband is the editor of Crisis Magazine, Eric Sammons. He's been on this program. He's been on twice with Kennedy Hall and the Kennedy Profession. She is Suzanne Sammons. She wrote a wonderful little essay last week, published at Crisis. I read it to you and shared it with many of you. And the essay was, "Stop Pretending the COVID Jab is Morally Equivalent to Other Meds." And Suzanne is on our hotline here live this morning. We're glad to have her. Suzanne, I will tell you, as I told Eric when I brought him on, I now have here in my currently, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, nicotine-stained fingers, my currently cigar-stained fingers, a beautiful little prayer card of a painting of Saint Joan d'Arc done by your daughter. It stays on my desk every day, and I welcome you to the program here on the Crusade Channel. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mike. And I just love the fact that you love the Joan of Arc painting as much as I do. That's fantastic.
Well, like I told Eric, you know, I'm a New Orleans native, and she is the Maid d'Orléans.
Yes.
And if you ever come, if you and Eric, if you ever make it to New Orleans, because it ever opens back up for business again, and you go to St. Louis Cathedral, when you walk into the narthex, yeah, it's one of the most beautiful cathedrals in the entire United States, one of the oldest, too. Might be the oldest cathedral. When you walk in, as soon as you go through the narthex and you get into the actual chapel, on your right would be a marvelous statue of St. Joan d'Arc. And on your left will be a marvelous statue of St. King Louis IX. Then, and if you leave St. Louis Cathedral and you head towards the river and that famous shot that you see on TV of Jackson Square, if you head north, which would be left from there, and you go one block, then there is the St. Joan d'Arc Square. It's actually a triangle, but it splits Decatur Street, and there's a 26-foot-tall bronze, it's currently bronze statue, of St. Joan on a horse with her standard and a shield. It's magnificent. You have to come and see it.
That is amazing. I would love to. She's just a wonderful saint for our time right now.
She is a wonderful saint for our time right now. We need a lot of St. Joan d'Arcs, don't we?
Sure do. Yes.
Now, Suzanne, I wanted to ask you to begin with, first of all, just tell our listeners a little bit about you. I know you're a homeschooling mom and that you obviously dabble in writing. Just give our listeners just a little bio, if you would.
Sure. Yes, I am a writer and editor. I have an interest in holistic health. I'm studying for a Master's of Science in Nutrition right now. I have been involved in pro-life work for, 30 years maybe. So I write about that. I write about health and nutrition. And I have an interest in fasting as part of that. So I write about fasting. And but really, I'm a mom. I have 7 children. And I guess I'm a mom with a lot of opinions. So that's me.
And you're the wife of a movie star now. Now that Eric's in that the movie about the Mass of the Ages.
Mass of the Ages. Yes, that's right. They filmed here at our house on the very eve of COVID tide. It's very impressive what they were able to do, in spite of the fact that everything shut down on them.
Beautiful.
They were able to finish that. Yeah.
It's a beautiful film. It really is. I look forward to part two.
Yes, me too.
You said holistic medicine, something that you may have heard me rambling about a little bit before you came on. This is going to become vitally important. And I think that there are more Catholics every single day, and our evangelical and denominational Protestant brothers and sisters, that there's a movement there away from pharmaceutical-based chained up in a hospital, linked up to all these machines, kind of industrial medical care, back from where we came, but with the knowledge of we're not Luddites, we don't reject technology, but it has a place, and it's not the be-all, end-all. Now, tell me a little bit about that before we talk about your article.
Yes, I would love to. I think that what we've learned about Pfizer and other pharmaceutical companies through what's come to light with the vaccine, whether we should have known before or not, the fact is people are more and more aware now of how the pharmaceutical industry works. And I think you're right. I think there's a much greater interest in other ways of maintaining health and restoring health. I think that our healthcare system in the United States is fairly good at most acute situations. We can heal broken bones.
Mm-hmm.
We can stop somebody from dying from a heart attack. We're pretty good in those acute situations, but in terms of maintaining health and restoring health, especially with chronic conditions, disease states, we've fallen a long way from probably where we could have been if a more natural tradition of medicine had developed in this country. And in the late 1800s, we had a pretty good developing system of natural medicine. And that was when the American Medical Association was established. And there were two schools developing, what became the conventional medical school in our country, conventional medicine, and the natural traditions. When the pioneers moved west, they had to use what was around them, and they had to use the knowledge they could gain from native peoples that knew about the plants and things around them. And so that's where the natural North American tradition developed. Well, the American Medical Association sort of squashed that. And it was sort of a co-opt by adoption, like, oh, yeah, we'll use some of those ideas. Sure, come join us. We're making this new medical association, and we want everyone to be united. So come on in. Well, you know, so goodbye traditional medicine, right? And we see that all the time, that things are co-opted by accommodation. So what we're doing now, we not only are limited, we aren't limited by our geographic place that we live in North America, so we only have knowledge of the North American tradition like the pioneers. No, we can take from the European tradition of medicine, Indian traditions, Chinese traditions, and we can also subject some of that to scientific inquiry that never would have been available in the 1800s even. And many things have been confirmed by that kind of inquiry. One of the problems is that the randomized controlled trial has been sort of made the gold standard, and that doesn't always work well with plant remedies. That's another issue. But I think overall, though, people are starting to recognize that it's very unnatural what we've done. And using the cells from an aborted baby to develop a new medicine, that's abhorrent, unnatural. I mean, pick your adjective.
Right.
How can that be health? I think that's what people are starting to understand. How can that be health?
And not coincidentally, but intentionally, next up after you, Brother Andre and Maria and I are going to talk about why... If you said we could take what Chinese learn, the Eastern traditions, medicine, and we can subject them to the scientific inquiry. And one thing that we have that the Chinese and the Muslims abandoned eons ago is we know that there are four causes, and the last one is the final cause. If you approach the scientific method with the final cause in mind, you're going to get to a different result than the Chinese ever got to. Because God comes into the fact. Natural law, metaphysics, as Dr. Wolfgang Smith says, we must now go into, we must think vertical. You cannot always think horizontal, vertical. Suzanne, I could talk to you forever on this. We have a lot of people in our audience here on the Crusade Channel and in our small family there that are, if they weren't already doing it, they are now exploring holistic medicine, exploring natural remedies and solutions, and are also looking toward, okay, as I was saying before you came on, what if Dad gets sick? We don't want to bring him to a hospital. We fear what they might do to him make these kind of preparations. Sad state of affairs that the medical profession, or the medical, more properly termed, vocation, has turned into a profession, and there are no more than technicians now that represent pharmaceutical companies. And I think that's what led to this, right?
Yes, I think that's a huge factor. And just backing up a little bit on what you're just saying, I think it makes sense that for Catholics, it certainly makes sense that God probably provided the things we need for our health. If he provided what a deer needs to stay alive, do you ever see a deer, you know, kind of limping around, like, I'm just old and my joints are aching? No, you live a vital life and then you die. If you're an animal living in the natural world, God provided what his creatures need for a healthy and a vital life. And so we need to look to the world to find those things, to creation. I understand, of course, he provided our intellect too. But we use the things properly. We use the things in creation that he provided in the forms he provided them. But yes, the pharmaceutical, I think we've known for a long time that the pharmaceutical industry runs healthcare.
Yes.
And we're just, you know, I try to find some things to be thankful for with COVID. Actually, I think there are many. And one is bringing this sort of thing to light. This is evil. But most of us weren't motivated enough before COVID to get away from it. And that's what I'm all about now, is how do I get away?
You're singing our tune here. Suzanne Sammons is a author and a homeschooling mom and a wife, and the author of Stop It Trending, the COVID Jab is Morally Equivalent to Other Meds. So let's talk about your essay here. Now, my first question for you, and I thought long and hard, so what will I ask Suzanne first? Okay, so my first question was, as I'm reading your essay, and I've read it three times now, I'm going like, all right, something happened that caused this woman, this lovely lady, the wife of Eric Sammons, to go like, all right, that's it. I've had it. Eric, you got to let me write an essay. I have to address this now. So my question is, what happened? What drove you to this? Because you obviously are animated and motivated to tell this tale.
Well, that's a great question. And I think you have to back up to a previous article of mine to probably answer it. So I wrote an article called The Malignant Reach of Abortion. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been in pro-life work for a very long time. And that article, that's when I lost it. And what prompted that article was the discovery that at the University of Pittsburgh, children are being, women's wombs are being opened up so that unborn babies can be scalped. Those scalps are grafted on to the stomachs of mice. Over time, the cells are still alive. Over time, baby hair starts to grow on the stomachs of the mice. If this were in a novel, you would say, this is insane. I can't believe somebody wrote this. This would never happen. This is ridiculous. This is happening. I guess that's the answer to your question. When I just lost it. I'm done.
I read that story. It was a couple of months ago. I didn't even realize it was in August. Didn't even realize then that it was you. We read it on air here. You're talking about the Center for Medical Progress, David DeLeiden's Center for Medical Progress, who sued the NIH under a FOIA request and discovered this, right?
Yes.
DeLeiden, in my eyes, is a St. George. This man goes.
You're not kidding.
He goes into the belly of the beast to find the dragon and goes like, I'm going to take pictures of what you're doing, and then I'm going to go out in the real world, and I'm going to slay you.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. He's fearless. He does not fear these people. He does not fear Kamala LaDasha Harris suing him in the state of California unjustly, of which someday she will pay for that. He doesn't fear all of the pushback that he's got on that. And when we read that story on air, Susanna, I'll tell you, and I'm not just telling you this because you're my guest right now. You can ask anyone that listens to this show. I said what you said. I said, if Stephen King wrote this and put it in one of his novels, you would read it as a piece of fiction and be terrified.
Right, right. And go like, this author's out of his mind. Who's ever going to believe that this could ever happen?
But it did. Now, let's talk about what you wrote about here with stop pretending the COVID jab is morally equivalent to other meds. I fancy myself to be on the side of life, a pro-life radical nutbag. So I say, my wife is, everyone that works here at the Crusade Channel, I think we all agree. And I know a lot. I've been in this business for 30 years. So I've talked a lot. I read a lot. I had never heard Johanna. Is it Joanna or Johanna? I'd never heard a name actually put to this child that they murdered to get the stem cells from. So tell us about that.
Well, what I can tell you is John Smirak at the Stream wrote an article that enlightened me on this. And in his article, he linked to a story about how that came to be. But and I think it was some time ago that she was named Johanna. She has a last name too, and now it's not coming to mind. I think it's Dutch, because they had, I believe it's Dutch. They knew where this woman was from. And so people on the side of life named her. And doesn't it make sense? So this is, as I said in the article, this is the cell line that everyone calls HEK293. So, which to me sounds like a license plate. But yes, she was given a name, and I've had quite a few people say to me, thank you for saying her name, or I didn't know she had a name. Now, it's very impactful. You know, I've lost children. Many friends have lost children, and we name those children.
Right.
Because I don't need to explain that, right? This was a person. And that was one of the horrible things about reading the 2020, I think it was 2020, maybe it was from this year, the document, 2020 document from the Vatican specifically about the COVID vaccine. They referred to Johanna's being aborted as something that took place in the last century. Like, that's from the 1900s. It can't be that important. And when you think, no, Johanna was a person. This was a person. What does time matter?
And then, so we had the Zmirak article pulled up in our Crusader Stadium chat room. The abortion ties of the COVID vaccines, the deal killer, or no big deal. The harvesting of unborn babies with beating hearts is an ongoing evil. Do you want to benefit from it? And then the artist at the Stream made birthday cake letters out of Johanna. Yes with candles.
That's the one. Yes.
So, yes. And I appreciate the point that you're making here. Stop calling it a license plate. This isn't an Audi. This is a child.
Right. And here's another little known fact that the Vatican failed to point out in the 2020 document. We think abortion, dead baby, that's bad enough. These are live babies. At the University of Pittsburgh, they're live babies. Johanna was a live baby. Her organs were harvested. Is that what we want to be a part of?
Obviously not. Suzanne Sammons is on our Dude Maker hotline here with us. Suzanne, one of the other points, and I guess you, like many of us, you'll speak for many of us, and you did in Crisis Magazine, are like, all right, I have had it with you trying to morally equivocate to me that somehow Tylenol is the equivalent of the Pfizer Johanna-based Franken goo. It's not. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, I think this gets to be a fine line, but that's certainly true. So Tylenol, most of the other drugs that the Father Schneider LC listed in his article trying to make this argument that it's all the same, most of those had been developed well before Johanna was killed. So it just doesn't make sense to put them on the same moral plane. The example I gave was aspirin being developed. It was developed in the 1800s. Now, could Bayer today test aspirin on Johanna, on Johanna's cells? Yes, and that happens all the time. Albuterol was another example. It wasn't developed using Johanna's cells, but it is sometimes tested now for new uses or to uncover more about its mechanisms of action on Johanna's cells or another baby's cells. So this is where I think Catholics need to go next. If we can all agree that we don't want anything to do with these vaccines, I think the next step is to understand we might not want anything to do with any pharmaceuticals because, again, if a new use is discovered for albuterol through testing on the cells of Johanna, I don't want to benefit from that either. Does that make sort of show the difference, though?
Let me ask you, what is albuterol and what does it treat? Do you know?
Yes. Albuterol is a drug for asthma.
Okay.
And so one of the things on my own, like, you know, Facebook or whatever, somebody said to me, they saw Father Schneider's article and she said, I can't believe it now. I don't know if I can live without albuterol. If I have an asthma attack, I have to use it. And so she felt horrible. So that led me to research and kind of illuminate this issue. But one of the things I found in doing that was I came across some people who had gotten off albuterol, even though they still have asthma. They figured it out. A lot of times, the pharmaceutical industry, I think, has convinced us that we can't live without them. And it might take a lot of really difficult work and some sacrifices, but I bet you we can.
One of the other things that I really appreciated, and I wrote you this about your essay. As a matter of fact, did Eric tell you that I wrote him a note and went, I don't know if this woman's related to you or not, dude, but bravo.
Yes, he did.
One of the things that I appreciated the most about it is your matter of factness, your candor in confronting the what I think is a 800-pound overweight Pope in the room, which is... Mm-hmm. If you sided with the people that went, come on, it's just 2 weeks. It's only 15 days to flatten the curve. It's just a piece of cloth. It's just a piece of paper right. Going over your face, which I said at the time, and I was opposed to this from the beginning. And yes, I used science to base it, and the science still proves correct today that wearing the face diapers, I call it, doesn't do a dang thing. Other right. than maybe if you had to sneeze, it will catch some of it. But this is this was always a control mechanism. But my point was that do you think maybe if someone had said stood up in 1937 after the I forget the name of the laws were passed that required Jews in Germany to wear the piece of cloth with a number on a Star of David? Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe that some things may have not happened that happened? The people that say, just a piece of cloth, just a piece of paper, you actually go after him here in his article and go like, hey, if you are one of those that are demonizing everyone else that has not received the COVID vaccine and you participated in it, you paved the way for them to be disemployed. That is a bold, courageous stroke, ma'am.
I totally believe that. And I excuse the non-Jewish neighbors of the Jews in Germany before I excuse people today who don't see what's going on, because we have a lot more history to look back on. These aren't conspiracy theories. It's not a conspiracy if it's out in the open. We can see what they're doing. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Except maybe, I don't know, if you went to public school and you're just dumb, I don't know. Maybe you're not as culpable.
Let's get specific. Quote, let's stop pretending that the COVID injections are all comparable with other medications and vaccines. Participation in the jab program is participation in the COVID regime, a sanitary dictatorship that has us locking elderly patients away from their families, covering the faces of children, and keeping them from seeing the image of God and their classmates and teachers, replacing real relations between persons with virtual connection, the feeling of a hug, a whisper in the ear, a firm handshake having become mere vectors of infection in the COVID culture, failure to acknowledge these evils, speaking of the COVID injection as if it somehow could be seen as just another shot, is the worst kind of spiritual and moral make-believe. Suzanne Sammons, tell me what you really think about that.
Well, you know, the make-believe line, I guess, I packed a lot into that, didn't I? I think people are pretending. I actually don't think people are stupid. I think they're pretending because it's easier. When you say, well, I know the mask doesn't do anything, but I wear the mask because I don't want the other people at the store to feel nervous or to feel I might get them sick. You're pretending. You don't want conflict. You don't want to have integrity. You don't want the sacrifice it takes to have integrity, to live what you believe. And for Catholics who, you know, in the world of Orthodox Catholicism over the last 10 or 15 years, theology of the body is everything. What we do with our bodies has meaning. Everything we do speaks some truth or lie. So if you put a mask on and that doesn't stand for something, what have we been talking about?
That's
with
right.
Theology of the body? It says something. What we do with our bodies says something. So if nothing else, you put that mask on when you don't really think it does anything, you're a liar.
This is something that I think you probably know her, that my dear friend Carrie Gress has written about theology of the body. She came on the show about the start of COVID. She goes, look, this is theology of the body. We can't mm-hmm. do this to the children. This can't yeah. happen. We're running out of time, and I only booked you for a half an hour, and you are busy. So let me get to your next punchline. So for those of you who say, I got the vaccine, but I don't think people should be forced to get it, thanks for nothing. You're getting the vaccine is what contributes to your neighbor losing her job and your nephew getting kicked out of medical school. I completely agree. So do thousands upon thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of other people now. You joined the regime, dude. You may as well be in the North Korean army with a pair of Krupp Rider boots up to your knee and goose stepping. You're with them. Whether you want to admit it or not, you went with them. Is there a way for good, faithful Catholics and our Protestant denominational friends that may find them family members in the same boat? Is there a way, you think, Suzanne, to get to back out of that? Can they gracefully back out of that, or have they already caused the damage that's going to be caused?
That's a great question. Absolutely. I think that some of us realized this right away. Eric and I looked back at posts from like March and April of 2020 to say like, yeah, I kind of got this right away. You know, that's okay if you didn't get it, if you thought you needed to go along, if you thought, maybe you thought masks worked, maybe you thought the vaccine was a good idea. What angered me about Father Schneider's perspective was he seemed to be saying, well, it seemed to be sort of this attitude of like, well, now you've sinned. So, oh, well, I guess you may as well keep it up. No. If when we realize we've done something wrong, we fix it and we figure out how not to do it again. And so all of these things, we need to take steps in our lives. And I mean, these can be serious for some people. I understand that. I have friends that are looking at many friends that are looking at career changes. Mm. There's careers we're not going to be able to be in. I'm sorry. As faithful Catholics, we are not necessarily going to have every career open to us.
That's it.
So, and that's just one example of a life decision that we have to put everything through this filter. Is making this choice going to require me to live, to speak a lie with my life? And if it is, how am I going to get out of that? How am I going to go in a different direction so that doesn't happen? So, yeah, I think.
Uh-oh. Call dropped. 844-527-8723, our call in line telephone number. Don't know what happened. It sounded like somebody, sounded like Beelzebub went, "That's enough of that." I'll wait a minute to see if Suzanne will call us back. One of the things that here's what I was thinking when she was quoting Father Snyder and going like, "Well, they've already sinned, might as well keep on doing it." No, I heard the voice of Father Isaac Royer. Okay, I see Suzanne calling back here. Okay, Suzanne is back. Suzanne, as you were talking about Father Snyder, I heard the voice of Father Isaac Royer in the back of my mind with, "Well, I sinned. Yep, you sinned. You might as well just keep on doing it." So I heard the voice of Father Isaac going, and I've heard this mission so many times, I've got to practically have it memorized. Father, I committed the sin. You know, I already did it. So, you know, I'm just going to keep on doing it. You know, I just go confess it after I've done it 20 times. And get ready, Suzanne. No! Do not. And Father Isaac is like, "No, you committed one sin. You're going to hell. You killed your soul. Don't add to it." So when you were talking about Father Snyder, I was hearing Father Isaac.
Right. Right, for sure. Yeah, and I think one of the hopeful things right now is that there seems to be a growing tide of people who are realizing this. So welcome aboard.
Suzanne, I want to thank you for your time. Now that we've met, I feel like I've met the whole Sammet's family. I've interviewed Eric. I've interviewed you. Soon, I'm sure you'll have a child old enough to write something. I can interview them.
Oh, wait till you meet my 6-year-old. She's a firecracker.
It is such a, and I talked about to my audience yesterday, and I'll just share a quick story with you, and please share it with Eric. One of our, we run this radio station, completely independent. We're subscriber-based. People don't pay. We go away. 6 years we've been at it. I don't know. One of the things that we do to build community here, and we don't advertise ourselves. We are not a Catholic radio station. We're the best news talk radio station on the planet with Catholics on it. We run a chat room, and it's kind of social media, and we have hall monitors, if you will, in there, admins. The only civilian admin that we ever had was a woman named Shannon. And Shannon volunteered as soon as when this began in 2017. She was there day one. She was a whipcracker in there. Everyone either feared her, everyone loved her, and many people feared her as kind of a hall monitor.
Right.
Wednesday night last, she couldn't breathe. Husband took her to her hospital. He was a vet, so he took her to a VA, a military hospital of some sort. They began treatment on her. They stuck the swab up her schnoz, tested her, said, "Yep, you got the corona doom," and they admitted her. This is a young woman, late 30s, early 40s. Late Monday, and we were told on Sunday, she texted us and said, "No, I'm doing better." They put her on an IV drip with steroids, some kind of antibiotic, and remdesivir. She already had a blood problem. At around midnight, Monday night, or early Tuesday morning, she went into cardiac arrest, and they revived her. Four times after that, she went into cardiac arrest. Finally, her husband called it. Our Shannon died in a hospital under remdesivir care. We're all heartbroken. And now the heartbreak has now turned into anger as we learn what this remdesivir does, and that if it was responsible, many of us, when you said earlier, are coming around to the realization of what's happening here. We have a medical industry here that is no longer trustworthy. And it's not no longer trustworthy because I'm an Alex Jones wannabe. It's no longer trustworthy because I have real life evidence and I deal with reality. This is a tragedy. I don't want this to happen. You and Eric don't want it to happen, but Suzanne, it's happened.
Yes. Yes. What's the way out? What's the way out? So I heard you before I came on talking about just not going to the hospital for this. Is this what they want? Do they want to keep us out of the hospitals? I don't know. I don't care, but I don't think I want to be there. If I have COVID.
I concur. All right, Suzanne, thank you for your time. I don't have to tell you to keep pushing that envelope because I rest assured that you will.
I look forward to, like
I tell people, the Crusade Channel is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio station. You guys are going to need a media outlet. This is a media outlet. Anyone's got an internet connection anywhere in the world or in this past hour, shortwave radio, can listen. Crisis Magazine is a media outlet. You're going to start making an inventory of reliable media outlets here because we're all in this pot of gumbo together, sister. So
right. That's right.
Thank you to you for your time and being generous with it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was good.
Good. So when I invite you back, you'll say yes.
I will, because you have my daughter's Joan of Arc card.
All right. God bless you and the Sammons family. We'll stay. Okay. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.